a possible deal in the case against Goldman Sachs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Securities and Exchange Commission might settle its lawsuit against Goldman Sachs over the investment bank's actions during the housing collapse. This morning's Wall Street Journal reports the SEC and Goldman are talking about settling this and some smaller investigations into the bank's mortgage practices. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
What might this settlement be?
Well, it looks like the settlement would cover this lawsuit the SEC filed in April. It could also take care of several lower-profile investigations the SEC has going on against Goldman. Some people have suggested Goldman could pay a fine, $1 billion or even more, to settle this. The thing is, though, that there are a lot of people who have to approve any deal. Goldman doesn't want to have to admit any wrongdoing because it could damage its reputation and open it up to more legal problems. The SEC has to make sure it still has room to go after Goldman if new information were to turn up at some point in the future, and a federal judge will have to sign off on the whole thing.
Does this mean Goldman will escape any charges in this mortgage business?
You know, so far, it's proven incredibly difficult to actually nail any of the big banks on the stuff they did leading up to the financial crisis. In any case, a lot of civil lawsuits have been filed against Goldman, and there's supposedly also a criminal investigation in the works against the bank to see whether its people committed some kind of securities fraud related to the mortgage trading business.
Okay, Marketplace's Elisa Roth. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
There are big money problems in American city and state governments. Many of them started the fiscal year on July 1st facing budget holes so big they basically had two choices: cut spending or borrow. Reporter April Demboski tells us both choices are painful.
The city of Oakland is ranked as one of the most dangerous cities in the country. But on Tuesday night, its city council laid off 80 police officers. Councilmember Nancy Nadel said they had no choice.
We've cut everything else to the bone, so we just felt it was necessary for them to take a piece of the pain as well.
Other cities and states are making up for budget deficits by borrowing. Illinois could rack up $9.3 billion in bonds this year, then spend millions on top of that in interest payments.
Illinois is unique, but not alone.
That's Brian Battle of Performance Trust Capital Partners in Chicago. He says municipalities across the country face rising labor and pension costs, and short-term measures won't be enough.
They're going to close the library 3 days a week. They're only going to cut the grass at the park once a week instead of twice a week. But the recession is long enough and the overspending is big enough that that won't do it over the long term.
For cities that still can't balance their budgets through cuts and loans, there's always the unpopular prospect of raising taxes. In Oakland, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in Europe and Asia this morning. Yesterday, the Federal Reserve said the American economy won't grow as fast as hoped this year, and it could take 5 or 6 years to truly recover. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials inched up 3 points to 10,366.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality.
Michigan's attorney general has filed a legal brief on behalf of 9 states supporting Arizona's strict immigration law. The White House is trying to block Arizona's law, saying immigration is a federal issue. Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell, says these debates over amnesty and border security are missing an important point. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
You think that what we need is more immigrants?
Look, Bill, with all the heated rhetoric about illegals and amnesty, border security, racial profiling, one aspect of immigration isn't getting enough attention, and it's the job-creating potential of immigrant entrepreneurs.
Well, I think most people would say entrepreneurship, it's a good thing in this country.
Yeah.
How big a role, though, do immigrants really play in that area?
Well, we all know the importance that immigrants have had in Silicon Valley writ large, right? So just one number, a quarter of engineering and technology companies that were started in the U.S. from 1995 to 2005, you know, a quarter of them had at least one founder that was foreign-born.
Well, Chris, is the anti-immigration sentiment a reaction to entrepreneurs, or is it more about uneducated, undocumented workers sneaking in?
Well, it's really a reaction against undocumented, uneducated workers. You're absolutely right. But the problem is, in terms of the backlash that's going on against illegal immigrants, it's becoming against all outsiders. And, you know, we live in a global economy where there's a lot of competition for brain power and entrepreneurial hustle. So what I worry about is in fast-growing emerging markets, rather than coming to university here and then staying here and creating a company, just going to say, you know, it's just so much easier just to stay at home and create my entrepreneurial dream there.
Well, encouraging immigration has been controversial. What can the government do about this that it can pull off politically?
Oh, there's so many things the government can do. One, you know, we'd really love if we just toned down the rhetoric. But, you know, on a very practical level, let's make it really easy for educated immigrants to come here, go to university, and then when they graduate, to stay there, to permanently stay in the U.S. These are the kinds of things we need to do.
That's Marketplace's economics editor, Chris Farrell. Chris, good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
And finally, a Beatles tribute band called the Fab Four, F-O-U-R, is suing a Beatles tribute band called the Fab Four, the number four. The Fab F-O-U-R claims the other tribute band is, quote, essentially identical in sound and appearance to the first tribute band. In other words, as the Las Vegas Sun newspaper put it, the Fab Four doesn't want the Fab Four cashing in on the Fab Four's cashing in on the Beatles.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for birds and bees, not give me more.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.